faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good day to you, Brevard County. Welcome back from your long weekend, a Saturday, a Sunday, a Monday, and hope that you had a great day celebrating the freedom that God has made available to us, not only as Americans, but as Christians, set us free from the law of sin and death. What a great gift salvation has been to you and to me. So we want to invite you out to our services this Sunday. We've got a missionary that is going to be with us sharing a few minutes during the service. I was supposed to be flying out yesterday. I was supposed to fly out, but I got summoned for jury duty instead, and so that's caused me to prolong my plans for a work project for a relative that I was going to have to go out and take care of. So anyway, we've got a missionary that's going to be sharing a small window of opportunity to present the mission field that they are going to, and then I will be preaching the word this coming Sunday as well. So I'd like to invite you out to that. Look, we're in the last half of the year. I love to watch horse races, and I actually kind of like to watch foot races. You know, not marathons. That's 26 miles of torture, or not triathlons or anything like that. But where there's a controlled distance, and what happens is you watch people that the closer they get to the end, the more urgency there is to kick into a higher gear and finish well. So let's set our sights on 2022. Let's finish well. Let's reach as many people as we can with the love of Jesus. Look, our population base is growing. We cannot afford to shrink in influence. When God is bringing the mission field of the world to Brevard County, we as Christians need to be ready to reach out in the love of Jesus Christ. Look, there are families at stake. There's eternities at stake. There's young people that are at stake. We need to be representing Jesus well. So I pray that you will join us in that. Today we're going to go back to John chapter 7. I'm going to go back and read verse number 28 through 29, and then we will pick up at verse number 30. If you missed yesterday's program, go back to WMIEFM.com and click on the Listen on Demand feature and type in July 4th, 2022, and you can click on that, and the program should be there. So John 7:28. Then Jesus cried out as he taught in the temple, saying, "You both know me, and you know where I am from. And I have not come of myself, but he who sent me is true, whom you do not know, but I know him, for I am from him, and he sent me." So anything that Jesus teaches is going to be spiritual truth. That's what we're looking at right here, is we're seeking truth. We're seeking the things that Jesus taught. Verse number 30, after he had told them that they do not know him, he said, "But I know him, I am from him, and he sent me." Verse number 30, "Therefore they sought to take him, but no one laid a hand on him, because his hour had not yet come. And many of the people believed in him and said, 'When the Christ comes, will he do more signs than these, which this man has done?' The Pharisees heard the crowd murmuring these things concerning him, and the Pharisees and the chief priests sent officers to take him. Then Jesus said to them, 'I shall be with you a little while longer, and then I go to him who sent me. You will seek me and not find me, and where I am, you cannot come.'" That's where we're going to stop the reading for today. So yesterday we were talking about that Jesus had concluded this teaching with an indictment, that he said that he knew the Father and they did not. People generally don't like it when they are confronted with their error. They don't like it when they're confronted with their heresy. Many of the religious leadership operated in pride. They didn't like that being exposed. And so anytime evil motives are exposed, it's going to produce hostility. And so Jesus said, "You don't know him, but I do know him, for I am from him, and he sent me." And it says in verse number 30, "Therefore they sought to take him, but no one laid a hand on him because his hour had not yet come." So there are a couple of things that take place here, and we'll try and take them in chronological order. Whenever there is an indictment or a person's motives are exposed, they want to be hostile towards that person. And so the religious authorities sought to take him. They wanted him removed from the scene. They did not want his message contradicting their message. So we see that going on in America right now, where there is one side that does not want the other side to present their story. I was in high school, and there was a movie that we watched. It was called Fahrenheit 451. And evidently that's the temperature at which a book burns. And it was a movie about banning literature, and the targets of that, if I remember right, were that there were people who were so uptight and so strict in their narrow-minded beliefs, as I remember it, that they wanted to burn anything that did not fit within their legal mind, and so they presented people who were, you know, traditionally Christian, traditional Bible believers, and things like that. They presented them as the oppressors and as the agents of censorship. I remember back in the 1980s when there was a person running for president of the United States, and they said, "We can't have a Bible-believing Christian being president. We don't want them in office because they're going to try and legislate morality." Now, I'm here to tell you, I believe that the Word of God would be much more productive in our society than on the sidelines of our society. I believe that the guidelines, the commandments, and the lifestyles encouraged in the Bible are of greater benefit to society than those that contradict the lifestyles of the Bible. But I also don't want to present it as a mandate to unbelievers, because they have a choice. Now, what I have seen since then is that there are people who are hostile towards the Bible, and they want to make sure that you do not have the ability to express yourself. They do not tolerate a message that contradicts their message. And instead of the Christians being the people who would legislate morality, over the last several decades, what we have seen is society dictating or legislating immoral behavior. And so there's this concept that is known as projection, where the motives of your heart are actually the things that you accuse the other side of doing, whether or not they are actually doing that at all. And so if you listen close, you're going to find out what the strategies of the enemy is in your life by just listening to the things that he's accusing you of. So when Jesus exposes the leadership that is presenting themselves as the end-all, know-all when it comes to spiritual truth, and that they've got it all figured out and everybody else is, you know, ought to be kissing the ground that they walk on, and Jesus says, you're projecting your perfection, but you don't know that you are, you know, as it says in Revelation, poor, blind, and naked. And all of a sudden, when they're exposed, they start lashing out. So if you want to know about what's going on in a person's life, shine the light on it. Turn the light on. So I have seen two news stories recently about people who had things crawling on their door that I never want to have crawling on my door. One of them was a friend of mine in Missouri, and he posted a video from his doorbell camera of a snake that was crawling on his door and slithering over the camera. Okay. You hear about alligators being at the front door and bears and all of that sort of stuff. I don't want any of those things coming around my front door. So, you know, the thing is, if you flip the light on and all of a sudden there's a change in what is seen and what is understood and comprehended, anything that doesn't want to be seen, anything that wants to be concealed rather than exposed, all of a sudden it starts running for cover. And so the religious leadership, Jesus shines the light on their hypocritic lifestyle, and they said, we can't have this. We can't have you exposing us to the people in this unflattering light. And so they sought to remove him from the scene. But I want you to pay attention to this. They failed. One of the most important things that I can communicate to you today is that God is in control of the timing of your life. Okay? I find it interesting that it says, because his hour, capital H, that means it's referring to Jesus, that his hour had not yet come, and that hour would be the time when he would be arrested and beaten and crucified. And, you know, a lot of times we think of that as one of the most dangerous moments and one of the darkest moments in Jesus' life. But the scripture says that's his hour. That's Jesus' hour. That was the hour in which he would fulfill every purpose. The reason that it wasn't his hour at this point in time was because there were still prophecies that he had not fulfilled yet. There were still messages that he needed to communicate. There were truths that still needed to be taught. It was his hour. You need to understand that the devil is not in control of your timeline, that the government's not in control of your timeline, that God is in control of your timeline. And as long as you are walking in faithful obedience to him, then your hour is going to prevail over all the plans of the enemy. The plans of God will not be hindered. That's a great news. That's a great report. So you and I, if we will find out what God wants us to do and act on that with love, speak the truth, but speak the truth in love. Don't compromise the word of God to try and make yourself popular. That's not it. Light is never seen more distinctly than when it is placed in a room filled with darkness. All of a sudden, the light becomes the focal point. We are not here to conform ourselves to this world, either in ideology or politics or anything like that. We are here to be transformed by the renewing of our minds so that we may be able to prove that which is good, acceptable, and the perfect will of God. We are light, we are salt, and we cannot lose our savor. And so when Jesus walks through the crowd, the religious leadership tried to take him, but his hour had not yet come, so their plan failed. And what was the result of it? Many people believed in him. If you find yourself under attack right now, I want to encourage you to pray and say, God, I'm not here complaining. I am here to testify to you. I'm asking that you be Lord over this moment. I pray that you would make a way of escape for me, just the same that you did with Jesus, and that people would see the truth, that they would see the life, that they would seek the truth, and that they would put their faith and trust in you as a result of this moment. And so that's really what we want. We want people to put their full weight and trust in every area of their life in the Lord Jesus Christ. So my wife and I, our marital finances were of extremely humble beginnings. By that, I mean very humble beginnings. Combined, you know, we didn't make $20,000 in a financial heyday. I mean, we were struggling. And you know, God was faithful, and I learned the faithfulness of God. But every once in a while, if I'm not careful, due to some of the challenges that that some people we know that we have to help financially, my plan for those dollars was different than what God's plan for those dollars is. And so I embrace God's plan, and I constantly remind myself, look, when you sow seed, you're going to reap a harvest. When you sow seed, you're going to reap a harvest. So I don't want to go back and revert to the old anxiety about finances that God delivered me from. So I put my faith and trust in him and say, God, whatever your future plan is, I'm doing my best to honor the family that we have, and I'm going to do my best to. I don't want to be seen as an unbeliever in my words. I don't want to be seen as an unbeliever in my emotions, and I don't want to be seen as an unbeliever in my actions. I want to represent Jesus well. So many believed in him, and then they started talking. Now, here is the second point that will agitate the enemy, and that is when people start being influenced, all of a sudden, you're going to find yourself a target of the enemy. Now, understand, he's not ever taken his eyes completely off of you, the enemy. He's only really focusing on the people who are making an impact and hindering his plans. And so many people believed in Jesus, and then they said this: when the Christ comes, will he do more signs than these which this man has done? When the Christ comes, the people of this day equated the signs that they were seeing in Jesus' ministry with the signs that were prophesied that the Christ, the Messiah, the anointed one of God, would do when he comes. Okay, I'm going to read that again. The people equated the signs they saw in Jesus' ministry with the signs that were prophesied that the Christ would do, the Messiah would do, the anointed one of God would do when he comes. So, as I was looking at this and preparing to come in and share this message, I realized this, that the people had an understanding, the people had an expectation that when Christ comes onto the scene, action follows. Signs and wonders take place. And I actually, I've got some goosebumps going on in the studio right here right now, because not because the temperature just changed, but because I believe that we need to once again embrace the reality that God is not a passive God. He is an active God. He is a benevolent God, a God who loves, a God who intervenes. It is his nature to intervene. Listen, when the sheep was lost, the shepherd didn't go out there because he heard the sheep bellow that it was missing and in trouble. He went out there because he realized that the sheep was lost, and the shepherd took the proactive approach rather than the reactive approach. He said, I'm going to go find my sheep. So with that being said, what activity, what divine activity is taking place in your life? What divine activity is taking place in my life? I believe that God is looking to be very active. The book of Acts indicates, if nothing else, that Jesus' activities in intervening and benefiting mankind did not stop with his death, burial, and resurrection. That it was that the works of Jesus were continuing on through the lives of the disciples. Church history would be extremely boring if all that was accomplished was through human means. But the truth of the matter is that that Jesus has been intervening and actively engaged in the interactions of man, the lifestyle of man, the timelines of man, ever since creation. Adam and Eve walked with God. Enoch walked with God. And God said, you know, I heard a preacher say this, so it's not original. He said, Enoch walked with God and things were going well, and God said, you know, we're closer to my house than we are to yours. Let's just keep going. And I like that. That's kind of appealing. So Jesus wants to be actively involved in your life. He wants to be actively involved in teaching you. He wants to be actively involved in healing you. A healing is what started all of this interaction. It wasn't just a new condition. It was a chronic condition. It was a hopeless condition, except for Jesus. When you read about the Word of God, whenever the Word of God begins to show the reality of heaven, you know what you're going to find is that it is a powerful place and it is a dynamic place. There is a lot of activity that is going on, and it all takes place under the sovereignty of God. It takes place because God wants it. Angels come not because I want angels to come. Angels come because God sends them with a message for the saints. Okay? When people get saved, it's because the Father has been looking for them. It's a dynamic place. So I want to kind of, you know, on this Tuesday here, I want to raise the expectation a little bit and say, hey, why would we not expect God to do something when the anointed one of God shows up on the scene? People were anointed for purpose. People were anointed. Kings were anointed. Prophets were anointed. Priests were anointed. The sick are anointed. And listen, it's not just the fulfillment of, you know, a scriptural ritual. It's with this expectation that the Lord will raise them up. So what do you say about when Christ comes in to your family? What do you expect to happen when Jesus comes into your life? I will tell you this, I don't believe he's looking to be a silent partner. Excuse me. I believe that he's wanting to be very active and very proactive. I believe that he wants to cause the devil to run and surrender. I believe that he looks to destroy the works of the enemy. I believe that he wants to come and expose things that are not of God. So, the people, it wasn't the leadership. The leadership, the Bible says, if they had known what God had intended, they never would have crucified him. Because they were looking to put shackles on the people as far as what they could do and couldn't do. And listen, if your entire life is built on lists of what you can do and what you can't do, it's going to be a very restricted life. And what you're going to find is that the list continues to modify. I broke out my yearbook. I had encountered some people, and I went and looked in a old college yearbook, and it's like I saw joy, I saw hope, and things like that. And we all expected God to do great and mighty things. And I saw some people that they've already finished their race, and they're already gathered to the saints. I saw some people who God did an amazing work in their life after Bible college. Praise God for all that they do. What is Jesus going to do in your life? And I will tell you this, like those people in Jesus' day, you will find out that the things that he does in your life are the same type of things that the Word of God prophesies that the anointed one of God will do when he comes. I'll say this. It's not if he comes, not maybe he comes, but when he comes. He wants to come on a daily basis and rule and reign in your life. God bless you. I do appreciate you spending the time with us here on the Refresh Radio program. Pray that you have a great day and that we will see you tomorrow right here on the Refresh Radio program.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Voices louder still. Can you hear us? Can